Welcome to Email After Hours by Senderscore, powered by Validity.
We're your hosts. My name is Guy Hansen.
And I'm Danielle Gallant, and this is Email After Hours.
A question for email marketers. How would you respond if someone suddenly cut your subscriber list by 25%? I'm guessing that that would be a problem, but that's effectively what marketers are doing when they fail to make email accessibility a priority. A quarter of the global population lives with some kind of disability, and many of these disabilities mean that subscribers aren't consuming your email campaigns in a traditional way.
So with this in mind, making your emails accessible to all subscribers isn't just the right thing to do, it's actually a key determinant of your campaign success. And today's Email After Hours guest is a true champion of accessibility with 16 years in design, 7 years specifically designing and developing emails, and currently as Skipton Building Society's lead email designer and developer. Michael Knapp knows how to use email marketing to open up communication between everyone. Welcome to the show, Mike. Really great to have you on Email After Hours with us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
And before we really get into it, Guy and I like to kick off every episode of Email After Hours with an icebreaker question. So I'm going to throw one right at you. It's a broad one. Mike, what is your personal email marketing pet peeve?
Oh, quite an easy one, actually. It's all image emails.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For many a reason. I might not be popular with that one, but...
Well, no, I feel it overlaps with the conversation we're going to have today as well. I'm sure we're going to come back and touch on that one. I'm with you there. But listen, before we dive fully into today's topic, can you give us a quick overview of Skipton's email program? So for the benefit of our audience, who are your customers and subscribers? And why do they want to receive your emails?
Yeah, so as you can imagine, I work in the sexy industry of financial services. And we've got some great products. So essentially what we do is we sell savings products, mortgages, financial advice, all those things that don't actually have a physical presence, but it's more the idea of them. We work B2C, B2B. We've got 8 distinct audiences that are completely separate from each other, which makes things interesting. But yeah, so it's actually really interesting. And it's kind of all those touch points for making sure that you cover all the transactional side, all the marketing side, and making sure that the customer journey is pivotal at that point.
And Mike, moving into today's topic a little bit, I hesitate to ask whether accessibility is something marketers are generally aware of, because we read a recent, like really startling statistic that indicated 99.97% of emails fail basic accessibility standards. So kind of a two-part question for you here. One, is that 99.97% accurate? And then two, if it is, why isn't this an area of focus for more marketers?
So yes, it is accurate. And it's based on a recent study from the email consortium with Parcel. And I think it's just basically an education thing. As with all things email, when you've got a technology that's as old as it is, it's not caught up with the developments of what we can do today. And I think we're resting on our laurels a little bit in terms of where we were to where we are now.
Now, I know we just threw a stat at you. I know you've got a few of your own stats to share with us. So let's use those to set the scene a little bit. Why should email marketers care about accessibility? Why should they be taking it more seriously than before?
For me, it boils down to 3 options, really. You've got the money side of things. Generally, they've got families who have at least one disabled person have a spending power of, I think it was 275 to 74 billion pounds. You've got the scary part, the legal regulation side of things. So you've got the European Accessibility Act, which is coming in very soon. The Equality Act, you've got, from a financial perspective, you've got the Consumer Duty Act, which touches on accessibility needs in places. So you could start to think of it from a legal and regulation point of view. But for me, it boils down to the most important thing, and it's empathy in terms of making sure that your emails are accessible and available to everybody.
And I feel like you said it earlier, this is something, even maybe from an education perspective, marketers just might not be aware of this, perhaps if they're even new to a brand or to the space. And it can seem like a bit of a lofty task, right? So for marketers who have never really considered accessibility standards in their emails, where should they begin?
I always say to people, begin where you have the most influence. If you're a marketer, influence the marketing sphere. If you're a designer, use good design principles. And if you're a developer, use your ability to develop better emails. As soon as you can start there, do little and often. Nobody's perfect. We've all got to start somewhere.
Let's start digging a little bit deeper. I think it's clear you're passionate about accessibility. You're passionate about design. And that's probably a good thing because a major part of good accessibility is all about the email design. So take us through some of the biggest considerations when it comes to designing accessible content. And while you're at it, I believe you've got a fresh new acronym to throw at us as well.
Uh-oh.
We love acronyms.
Right. So if you're talking about the acronym I think you're talking about, it's WCAG. And this is just a shortened version of the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines. These are essentially a set of guidelines that all the websites can abide to see how accessible they are. Obviously, these guidelines are for websites. So we have to figure out what is true to us as using email as a medium. So we can't do everything, but we can actually use this as a really great base principle and take those learnings both from a design and a development perspective. So for me, it's the good design principles of making sure you've got good color contrast between your text color and your background color. Okay, this might sound quite odd, or actually, is there a way of scoring this? Turns out there is. There's loads of tools available online. But your content, your text must be easy to read on different colors. Because if you have a yellow on a red background, that's going to be incredibly hard to read black copy on a white background. And it's just trying to figure out how legible and how easy emails are to read and the color and the design around them.
I was just going to throw out, it's super interesting because we have done accessibility related sort of creative assessments for some of the senders that we work with. And one of the basic ones is looking at sort of color blindness or color deficiency. And so when you're even looking at within Everest at the design and content tool, and you're reviewing what it might look to someone that maybe has some sort of color impairment, it's so interesting because it's not something that you would always consider. And often when you check that box and you look at that creative, it looks wildly unreadable and the images don't look right. And it's really funny too when there's food involved, I find, because it just looks so unappetizing to people who, obviously, this is not a joke, but there are some instances where you're like, that turkey does not look how you think it looks to a whole bunch of the subscribers that are reading it. But I interrupted you, Mike. I'm sorry. There were probably other design considerations you were going to go into.
No, it's all right. But just on color contrast, while we're talking about it, a lot of this is inherited from brand guidelines. And just slight tweaks to color saturation and things like that to actually get the sufficient contrast can still make your email look on brand. But what you're doing is you're just slightly tweaking. And sometimes that can be quite scary for brands of actually changing their brand color palette. But what you're actually doing is evolving it for digital media. While I've got you here and I'm talking about everything else, typography plays a massive role in terms of the email design landscape. The thing is that people don't consume emails like letters, like web pages. They scan. It needs to be, you need to find what you need easily because you lose interest. So using good typography in terms of making sure you've got a good hierarchy, so you know where your headers are, your subheaders are, your text size, just breaking content up into bite-sized chunks makes things a million times easier. And then also as well, if you make sure you've got a minimum text size of 16 pixels, which is the standard of what we're talking about. If you want to go one better, I believe around 18, 19 pixels is perceived to be the more standard at the moment. So 16 pixels is like the base level, the minimum what you should be working to. And then if you want to go one up, 18, 19 pixels is a little bit better. But yeah, it's just basically good design principles, color and type and text really, and layout.
And that's the design side. And often I think there's overlap, but there's the design, like the way it looks visually, but then also there's the actual coding of the message to ensure accessibility standards are in place. So what does good accessibility look like from a coding perspective?
This is well documented. There's loads of great articles online in terms of how to get this right. But what you want to be doing is you want to make sure your HTML, your meta and your title tags are right. So get them right in the template, get them set up and you're good to go. That's one thing that you can just set and forget. Make sure you're setting your table roles. So every table you've got, if it's not used to present data, put a role of presentation on it. So therefore, screen readers know it's not a data table. that improves the journey a million times. And this is another one that actually coexists with one of my points previously, is that if you've got a designer that is designing with headers and subheadings, if you're a developer, you can marry that up with the appropriate heading tags. And as you're using screen readers to navigate content, this is one of the big wins for me in terms of making sure you're using the appropriate headings, just like you would on websites and looking at it from your H tags and your paragraph tags. Being able to navigate that is the key way of improving journeys for screen readers and accessible technology. And then one last little thing is to get your alt tags right. So again, for me, if it comes down to me and I have to write the alt tag because it's not being selected by copy, I can give a visual description of that. But I've actually been testing a few AI tools as well, and there's a few out there that gives you a few options. So don't be, obviously you need to select them and you can choose the tonal voice of it, but don't be afraid to experiment. And again, as I said, I'm no copywriter, so it's been getting better results than what I would write.
I love that. That's a use of AI that just hasn't occurred to me for sure in email marketing. And there are so many ways that it can apply. And just to follow up on all of this, because of course, like anything else, when an email is being coded or updated, we need to test it, right? We always have to make sure that we're doing the testing here. So like I said, any other element in email, accessibility coding requires evaluation. Are there any tools designers should use to test that their accessibility efforts are effective?
So there's a couple. In terms of actually just making sure your standards are right, so I've just mentioned color contrast tools. Google it, about 10 will come up. You'll find your preference. You can also get plugins for your design software, such as XD and Figma. There's ones that plug in that tell you if your color combinations are thing. And also as well, you've got testing platforms that'll check these for you. But for me, they go really well from a design perspective. But if you're thinking about how to test from a journey and how people use screen readers, it's use one. And you've all got one in your pocket. All modern like phones now, smartphones, have some form of assistive technology built in them. And one of the, and it doesn't take long to figure out. It took me an hour to just start to get to grips with it and turn it on and turn it off and figure out how to navigate it. And you really do start to understand in terms of the pitfalls of bad kind of processes or the good things about the better practices.
Wow. Is one of those pitfalls when a screen reader comes across emojis? What does a screen reader make of a poo emoji?
Do you know what? I need to test that one out. I need to say it's not coming to my testing program recently.
I'm sorry, that was unnecessarily flippant. But you know what? I mean, our regular lead readers will know that here on Email After Hours, we're absolutely here for the examples. And I think you've given us a load of great best practices already. But presumably, there are times when accessibility goes wrong. And I was just wondering whether you might have one or two examples front of mind where you've seen exactly that, where it's been an accessibility fail rather than accessibility win.
I think the most famous one, which I always go back to, is the Domino's court case. Obviously, probably a little bit more applicable to the app side of things, but how one missing alt tag on an image can throw the cat amongst the pigeons, so to speak, and kind of really set a legal kind of precedent. So that's been a really, and that's, although it's been going on for a while, that's been a really interesting one to follow.
Wait, Mike, I have to interrupt you. What is the case? What's the background on that? I don't know what that is. It sounds famous, but I don't know it.
I'm probably going to get called out for getting this slightly wrong, but essentially someone took Domino's to court around the inability to order a pizza by using the screen reader app because there was a missing alt tag. And it's been backwards and forwards. It's gone through the rounds, shall we say, through all the legal courts in America. But yeah, so that's been ongoing and they've, I think it got finally settled that they were in content after it went to the Supreme Court or the higher court. I'm not quite sure in America. But yeah, so now Domino's are having to conform to WCAG AA standards for all their web and app.
And just before, Guy, I know you probably have a million follow-up questions to that, but like icebreakers and closing questions, something that we always do, I always make a note of new British phrases that I learn when I'm meeting on Email After Hours, and throw the cat amongst the pigeons is officially added to that.
It's a good one. I actually wanted to sort of pose a slightly more serious question because I think we listen to stories like that and probably wipe our brows a little bit thinking, wow, glad that wasn't me. Because some of these fails can have big and real life consequences for the brands when they happen. Can you give us a couple of impacts of the pain that brands are going to feel when they get accessibility wrong?
Massively. And obviously, within that case, you can get some bad press, you can lose business from it. So if you are not providing this business to people with access needs, they will just take their business elsewhere. And they're a hugely loyal customer base as well. And also as well, alienating customers and sure. things like that. So all the bad things that you don't want to look at and you don't want to happen to your brand can potentially happen.
And how about the flip side? Like, obviously, there are major benefits for marketers when email accessibility is done right and is made a priority. Do you have any maybe success stories where prioritizing accessibility in email marketing led to tangible benefits for a brand?
For me, the success stories actually happen when you actually start to talk to people that use this kind of technology and you actually start to realize how important it is and you actually are figuring out, do you know what? This is really important. And that's where the success comes from for me in terms of actually making a difference through what we're doing. And this is an odd thing. Actually being able to make a difference through designing and coding, happy days. It's not something that I thought I'd be trying to make a difference in. And it's definitely one I am glad of.
It's an interesting point. Do you think it's fair to say that there's actually a double win for email marketers when their programs are successfully accessible? I guess what I'm thinking, a lot of accessibility best practices are also established email best practices. So in theory, you're delivering a better email experience for all your subscribers, not just the ones that will benefit from better accessibility. Would you agree?
Massively. It's always ever going to be a double win. And I hate to bring it back to the past, but look at the text message and how that was invented for deaf people to communicate. That then spurred on a whole digital revolution in terms of, so all these things are better for everybody. So why just not make it easy for everybody?
I've absolutely loved this chat. Accessibility in email is something, I mean, for sure, Guy and I, we've spoken about it. And even when we had our initial call, one of the things that we were chatting about was a question that we often get from clients, or I've heard from clients when I'm recommending accessibility standards. And it's how many subscribers, what percentage of my audience does this apply to? And it's just fundamentally the wrong question, right? Instead of really making this a priority for the benefit of the brand and everyone and for inclusivity and to have that empathy. So I've just really loved all of these tips. I think they're so helpful, Mike. And before we round this chat out, of course, we started with one and we're going to end with a quick fire question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I love this one because I know the advice that I'd go back and give to myself. And I'm sure Guy knows it as well. But if you could time travel and give your younger self one piece of email marketing advice, what would that be?
Oh, that's interesting. For me, as a young designer making out an email, it would be lean into the chaos.
Lean into the chaos. What's
Guy, we should use that as our new mantra, I think.
Yeah, we got plenty of chaos to lean into. I was actually just thinking back to how I'd answer that question. And I was thinking back to the future. If you could go back and give Marty and Doc iPhones and the ability to email, let us save themselves a load of trouble. Don't you think? Anyway. So that's it. It's been a fascinating conversation. And Mike, thanks so much for joining myself and Danielle on Email After Hours today. Really great conversation. And we'll definitely have you back at some stage in the future if you'd like to join us. See you all again in 2 weeks' time. Bye for now.
Be sure to tune in next time and hit subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And don't forget to visit senderscore.com for loads more great resources to help you become a stronger sender.
To all you sleepless senders out there, thank you for joining us after hours and see you next time.